Welcome to the Wolverine Digest Podcast, the best spot for objective and authentic coverage of Michigan athletics. If you want open dialogue, honest opinions, and in-depth coverage of the Maize and Blue, this is the podcast for you. And now, here's your host, Brandon Brown, joined as always by Chris Breiler.
I'm just going to start by saying go blue.
Welcome back, everybody out there on a Wednesday night. Chris and I, he's back with the headset. Chris is back with the headset. He's feeling good again. A new computer, a new headset, a new man. I mean, is that fair to say?
Same man. But I got to be honest, it was like doing this without the headset was like being what I could only imagine is like being a DJ at a rave without like your turntables. Like you're just on stage with nothing to do.
I mean, our setup is pretty simple. We've got like two things and you were without one of them. So yeah, it's kind of
I was without two. I only had my phone.
That's right.
Right. So right. We had to make do. Fortunately, it works. But yeah, back in the pocket again. So
back ready to roll. So we're super excited tonight, man. We're super excited. We have, I'm going to say it. He's the most dominant Michigan athlete that you might not even know about. Is that fair?
I think it's more than fair too.
We are super excited to welcome to the podcast, to the live stream, Mr. Paul Judah. I don't even know how many time champion men's gymnastics at the University of Michigan. We're going to get into all of that. Chris is going to kind of run the show here with his interview questions. But, Paul, thank you so much for stopping by, man. Really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me, guys. I'm super humbled and super grateful to be on this podcast. And, you know, I really appreciate the title. And I just want to talk about gymnastics, talk about people learning a little bit more about the sport, and just talk about why I think we're some of the greatest athletes at Michigan, not just myself included, but my entire team.
There you go. Before Chris launches into the question, this is the one thing I do want to ask. I said the greatest athlete at Michigan that you probably don't know about. And I want to ask, do people know you? Like, you walk around campus. I mean, are you just a regular Joe? And then you're like, oh, by the way, I just win national titles all the time. Like, how about that?
I think so. I think, because like, I'll give you a great example. And I think this happened this past weekend, so I can talk about it. So I, at the past nationals, and we'll probably get into it more, I'm sure, but I was able to fortunately win two national titles, and the team was placed in the third place in the team rankings. And I won the all-around title, which is meaning I did all six events, and then my combined score was the highest of anyone at the competition. And I had also won the vault, which is one of those six events. And I had to tell my teachers about that because they wanted to know, and it wasn't like outwardly obvious to them. I did have, of course, and I'm super grateful for all the people that did reach out over Instagram or in my text messages, but in terms of on campus, no, definitely not. I'm a regular old Joe, but sometimes, you know, I kind of appreciate that. It must be really hard to be a big time football player. So
there you go. Yeah, that's, all right, I mean, let them fly, man. I'm interested to hear more about this.
Well, I was going to say that's wild to me because, so it's interesting the way that Paul and I sort of connected, and we were talking about this a little bit before we got on, but it was through Michigan's influencer program, and there's an acronym for it. And we were joking a little bit about that, but basically, you know, it allowed Paul to connect with me and basically learn a little bit more about his story and learn why it's important for, I think, you know, the average fan to learn a little bit more about, you know, what's going on with the men's gymnastics team. And Brandon and I talk about this a lot because Michigan fans, by and large, like to celebrate what's going on with Michigan athletics and how well everything is doing across the board. And I think to really fully appreciate that, to know some of these stories with gymnastics or swimming or some of the other sports, I think it's really important. So Paul, I'm glad we were finally able to do this, man. This was weeks in the making. You, like we talked about before, you've been traveling all over the place. Can you tell me where have you been the last few days? Where were you last week? What's been going on?
Well, how about this? I'll tell you how this year kind of played out the last 2 months, because that's where it really, really all ramps up. And I'll be honest, the last month and a half has felt honestly about like 6 months long, just because of all the things that we've done. So the first major competition that I think I was planning to do was in February. It was the Winter Cup competition, and it was going to be in Dallas, Texas, in the Dallas, Texas Cowboys Stadium. It was going to be amazing, and we were super excited to go there. And that's essentially our winter nationals. So this is outside competing of Michigan. These are this is something very different than the girls team, which some people are probably more familiar with based on the recent success that they've had in the past couple of years. A lot of Michigan athletes that are on the men's side strive to do elite gymnastics, which is outside of the same regular season that everyone else does. That is a foreign concept to girls. They don't usually do that. So as someone who strives to do the Olympic Games, which is obviously non-affiliated with Michigan, you have to do these different competitions in association with USA Gymnastics. So the Winter Cup is also, I like to call it the Winter Nationals, and then we have a Summer Nationals as well. So the Winter Nationals was in Dallas, Texas. And for those that don't know, Dallas, Texas does not handle snow very well at all. And so getting there was a thing, a whole thing of itself, in and of itself. We were supposed to arrive there, I believe, on Wednesday. The Wednesday flight was canceled. Thursday, we wake up super early in the morning, 4 a.m. Our flight was going to be at 5 or 6 a.m., canceled. Friday was the first day of the competition. There were no flights Friday, obviously. So we missed the first day of competition, which is actually when they were going to be making the preliminary decision for the national team. I was kind of heartbroken because I thought, well, not going to be making the national team this year. So that's really crappy because there's a bunch of competitions that I want to do. But if the our training has been going well in preparation for this competition, so I just, maybe if we can get there like on their Sunday, which is the second day of competition. Saturday evening we find a flight. We end up getting in on Sunday around 2 a.m. Based on delays because of some problems that the flights were having or whatever. And so this is now an experience that I can look back on and say, like, oh my God, the three guys that went, Crew Bolt, David Willett, and I handled that kind of pressure immensely. It was incredible because so many people were like laughing at us. Like when we got in there, they're like, oh, you guys finally got there. And we were just happy to be there. You know, after so many days of weird wake up times, with uncertainty in our training, we were like, at least we're going to be able to compete. The USA Gymnastics Board of Directors were being very kind and allowing us to just be automatically placed into the second day of competition, which usually you have to qualify into. And so they gave us that opportunity to compete, to showcase. And I'm very confident and happy to say, or I'm very happy to say that all of us went in there with no mistakes at the end of Sunday. And we were in Dallas for maybe only 36 hours, and it was a very good trip. So that was the first competition that happened, and that was the beginning of March. About 1 week after March, we had a competition in New York against William and Mary and Army West Point, and that's when I hit the NCAA season high all around score and won all six events, which
dive into that a little bit, because I think people, you know, they're not really sure. Like, I watch gymnastics a lot, and I know that there's a lot going on. There's a lot of different parts of gymnastics. What are the events that you specialize in specifically?
So in girls gymnastics, there's the floor, the vault, the beam, and the uneven bars that look like that. In guys gymnastics, we overlap in two of the events only, the vault and the floor. However, the difference between the two events is that in our floor, there is no music, and there's also only consecutive tumbling passes, and there's no dancing. In the girls' sport, there's dancing, there's more choreography in their routine, and there's a little bit less tumbling, usually. And then in terms of the vault, the guys, at least what I've noticed, tend to do much higher difficulty vaults. And that's just simply because of the scoring differences. We could get into that, but I feel like that would be kind of a topic for another discussion, because that's just something that I think it's hard to explain. And I prefer actually the 10.0 system, because I feel like 10.0 is the Olympic, you know, standard of gymnastics. And I feel like it's easy to publicize that. And that's a whole nother thing though. But so anyways, and then in terms of what I do, I do all six events in men's gymnastics, which is the floor exercise, which is one of the overlaps, the pommel horse, which is where people do the circling around and the flares, the still rings, which is mostly what people know as the iron cross, the vault, which is an overlap for girls gymnastics, the parallel bars, which is not uneven, they are parallel and the same height, That one's kind of hard to explain, but if people see it, I'm sure they understand. And then the high bar, which is the one single steel pipe in the air that you do crazy high flying, adrenaline rushing skills. So someone that does all six events is considered to be an all arounder. In guys gymnastics for collegiate level, and definitely international and elite level, you also have people that specialize in one or two events and are not considered all-arounders. Specifically, those are the guys that focus their time on one event because they have aspirations of being a world or Olympic medalist on one event. They are essential to any team, just like every team needs very different people. It's good to have all-arounders, but it's also very good to have individual guys.
So, I mean, you obviously, you do a lot from a gymnastics standpoint. You're involved in pretty much anything. I want to go back a little bit to the beginning because that's where I think your story is really interesting. Your parents immigrated from Poland. Is that correct? And correct. I'm not sure what age were you when they made that decision or made that move? Were you even born yet?
I wasn't born yet. I was born 2001. I believe my parents had gotten here at least, I believe my dad came here about 40 years ago, and my mom had, he went back, and my parents met in Poland, and they came around, I think around 1975, something around there.
Sure. So you had the opportunity.
Sorry. Yeah. Like I wish I knew more perfectly, but it was before I was born.
Yeah. And I remember you saying though, you had the opportunity at least once or twice to go back and see where it was your parents came from. And can you kind of talk a little bit about that and how big of a move was that in terms of, you know, where you are now and putting you on the path you're on?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So I think I was really fortunate and able to go to Poland by myself. And I was able to do it at an age where I was able to understand what I was looking at. I went my senior year of high school, right before I went to college. I had finished the national championship, the summer national championships at that time. And my next 2 days were literally coming home and packing and going to Poland. My grandma is still there from my mom's side. And a lot of my family is over there from my dad's side as well. Actually, most of them are. So I always like to think when I was younger, I liked to be kind of upset that we didn't have a big family. And I never really understood that we did have a very big family. They just weren't here and I'd never met them. So when I went there, I think it was really, really, really interesting to see kind of everything that I had imagined it to be. And at the same time, not at all what I expected, right? There were a lot of things that I realized. Specifically, the first thing that I think was most important was that everything there was really slow. A lot of people like to take their time. And, you know, in America, I feel like there's a lot of pressure on a lot of us to go like, go, 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 go. And over there, they don't really adopt that culture at all. And I'm personally someone who loves that culture, right? Like going, 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 going. That's what I've always done and what I always think is the best. However, when it comes to opportunities of success, my parents came here because they saw that life should be better for their kids and it should be better. And even if they have to take a gamble, it's going to be better than their maximum potential in Poland. So for me, what I noticed is that the maximum potential for me in terms of athletics is great here and it's probably great anywhere. But in terms of economic success and prosperity in life, America is where my parents wanted to come. And I'm so grateful for them because I don't think my parents had any idea that a kid could go to college on a scholarship for a sport that he loves. My parents had no idea that that was even a scenario. So that just goes to show also that, you know, putting me into sports was never motivated by any type of economic gain. My parents just wanted to make me happy as a little kid. So I don't think I was able to do something like that, let alone going to a prestigious number one university like the University of Michigan, go blue always. You can't do that in Poland. So I'm so happy that my parents made that decision. I can't imagine the type of sacrifice they made because they're coming to a country where they don't even speak the language. And I remember my mom's told this story a couple times where she went to the McDonald's, I believe, to try and order French fries. And she was so embarrassed because she didn't know the words for French fries. And to see where my parents have come all this way to now, speaking the language and understanding the culture and stuff, but it's amazing to see, but I like to try and still talk to them in Polish as much as I can because I don't want to lose that side of my life, and I don't want to lose that type of heritage that I have. And I always want to say that I'm a Polish American because, to be 100% honest, I am very European at heart, and it's the first language I learned, and I have my parents to thank for all of that. So.
Yeah. And you talked about, you know, getting you involved in athletics. What was it specifically about gymnastics that drew you to that? Did you play other sports growing up? Were you involved in other things?
So I've got a brother and a sister, and they're both much older than me, 29 and 25. And so my parents put them both in sports. And what I noticed from a very young age, from what my parents told me, was that I was very active. And so going around, and I was always with my parents when they drove my siblings to sporting events or sporting practices or whatever. They both did gymnastics at the place that I did gymnastics for so many years, Buffalo Grove Gymnastics Center. But it wasn't for a while till I actually got into the sport. At first, my parents put my brother in tackle football. And when they were doing, you know, laps around the field, I was joining them as a little kid. And some of the parents were like, hey, like, that's pretty crazy that he's doing all of that already. And my mom's like, oh, whatever. And then I do have this one very distinct memory of sitting on the ground in my kitchen and just throwing my legs behind my head and being able to do all the splits, naturally very flexible. And one of my closest friends as a child's mom had said, have you ever thought of putting him in gymnastics? And my mom was like, guys do gymnastics? And she was like, I don't know. Okay. And it would be like God willing, because there was a gym 5 minutes away from my house. And this was the gym that would end up being the place that made me, right? That molded me into the person I am today. And I have my greatest coaches in the world to thank for that. And so we ended up going to gymnastics. And I remember my mom also likes to tell this story that one of the coaches at the time, because I was in the recreational program, came up to her and was like, did you want to do competitive gymnastics by chance? And my mom was like, I don't know what that means. and so the guy, my caliph at the time, goes, yeah, no, it'll save you money. And right there, my mom was like, okay, sure. So that was her selling point. And I'm so grateful that we made that decision, because I mean, my life was changed ever since.
Well, you said something in there that I thought was interesting, and I wanted to elaborate on it a little bit, because we talked about it when you and I spoke on the phone, the topic came up, but your mom was surprised. She said she was surprised to find out that men do gymnastics. And we talked a little bit about kind of, there is an uphill battle when you're a male gymnast and you're having the kind of success that you're having. I mean, we can run down all the accolades when you talk about, you know, two-time NCAA champion, back-to-back Big Ten male gymnast of the year. I mean, it's pretty impressive. Just talk a little bit about what that's like, you know, when you feel like you're kind of clawing and fighting for that same type of attention when all of those accolades are coming in.
You know, it's something that I've learned that, and I think I'm always going to be this way, but I'm not someone who, at least the older that I've gotten, I don't love talking about my accolades to a lot of people, because I never want to be the loudest guy in the room or kind of talk about this and that. So I like letting the work speak for itself. And it's kind of something that I've adopted over the years. I definitely wasn't that way when I was younger, or even a couple years ago, I definitely wasn't that way. But in terms of just general recognition in Michigan, I find that a lot of people, like you said, love to celebrate what's going on at Michigan. And it's always sometimes, it sometimes feels like it's not even being like the information isn't even being presented or available to fans when it's even at these highest levels of accolades, right? I remember that, you know, there's so many other sports that are so obviously being broadcasted, and a perfect example is how our last NCAA championship, not 4 days ago, 5 days ago, wasn't even broadcasted on any major news network or anything. It was on the Sooner Sports television programming. And although, like, I'll be happy because so many people were able to watch it for free, it just makes me wonder, like, well, why couldn't it have been on an ESPN 1 or an ESPN 3 or any level of that kind of coverage when it's the national D1 level athletic championship, right? Tournament. You know that there's 15,000 channels that are doing these basketball tournaments and the football channels, but I'm just asking for one. I'm not asking for that kind of same coverage. Yeah. To be 1,000% honest, I'm eternally grateful for football and basketball. They are the only reason that I exist, right? I have to kiss their feet because without them, our program doesn't exist. And so thank God that the Big House gets filled out every week, because that's the only reason that we're going to be getting these kinds of things. So for that, I'm eternally grateful. And for the fact that Michigan Athletics continues to support our program, despite being such a low revenue sport, I am super grateful, because I could be just as easily having this conversation if I was at Minnesota or in Iowa and my program was cut a couple years ago. So that kind of gratefulness and that I owe all the other big earning sports here, it goes unmatched. Like I love those guys and I'm so happy for the success that they do. But I also want to celebrate the people that do well. I want to celebrate the success from every different sport. And I think that everyone should adopt that kind of mentality. And Chris, to your point, yeah, I definitely do feel like at times I am clawing, because, you know, becoming a national champion has been probably a dream of mine since I watched Sam Mikulik do it when I was just a little kid. And Sam Mikulik was formerly one of the greatest Michigan gymnasts of all time. And for it to happen and kind of just realize that only really my bubble of people is going to find out unless I post it on Instagram sucks, you know? So.
Well, I mean, that's, you know, and that's part of what I think, you know, we're trying to do here is shine a little bit of light on it. And like I said, I think right now it feels like a golden age in Michigan athletics, and that everywhere you look, every athletic program seems to be doing well. I've got a few more here that I want to close up with. And then Brandon, if there's anything you want to add, or Paul, if there's anything you want to add. But you know, you do talk about the success and you talk about, you know, what you guys do as a unit. What is one thing you think the general fan should know about the men's gymnastic team at the University of Michigan?
Oh, loaded.
Loaded question.
Good question, yeah.
One or two or three things.
Sure. Okay. I'll start with this one. The University of Men's Gymnastics, University of Michigan Men's Gymnastics program has an exceptional amount of STEM majors, meaning science, technology, engineering, and math, coupled with the fact that almost 99% of us are in the gym 4 hours per day, not including our weightlifting training. We are in there, and then couple with that at least 12 to 16 credit hours of hard STEM majors and maintaining high GPAs. That is something that I think needs to be broadcasted to the general public. We are not just athletes. We are student athletes at the very core of it, because we're some of the smartest and greatest. That's why I love the fact that most of my team are going to be successful doctors. We're going to be successful engineers. They're going to be successful business people. And that's what I love. You know, I love the accolades that our team collects over the years, but at the end of the day, we're hanging out with extremely smart individuals, and those kind of smart individuals make time in the gym go by fast. You know, we're spending time, and I'm not going to lie, we're spending a lot of time training, but we're also getting it done in the school, in the classroom. So for that, I think the number one thing that I'd want people to know is that we're one of the epitome of the student athlete. The time management skills that we have are unmatched. We put in the hours, but we also know how to get it done in the classroom. And for that, I just cannot commend the guys. I'm not a STEM major myself. I'm a psychology major with a focus in a certificate in sales, but the guys on the team that are unmatched, some of the smartest, most unbelievably awesome people that you'll ever meet.
Well, here's what I'll say then. Here's why then I think people should generally, and it's hard because it's hard to keep up with a lot of sports when you've got family. Sure. And you know, people grow up with personal interests. But again, I just go back to the fans, generally speaking, like to boast and brag about how well Michigan does athletically and also academically. And what I'm hearing from you is you guys are, you know, the best of both worlds there, where you're sort of the, you know, the, you epitomize sort of what that means to be a student athlete at the University of Michigan. And so I certainly hope people take interest and give a little more, at least, of a spotlight to you guys, because you're kicking ass. Like I said, I can't keep up with all the accolades. I posted a story last week, and then you won, I think, 2 NCAA titles since then. And so it's already useless what I put up last week. So we'll have to update that another week. There's a couple more questions I want to ask before I get you out of here, and they're a little bit more fun. But I'm curious, if you weren't doing gymnastics, if you had a choice to do another sport at the University of Michigan, assuming that you could do it, what would you do?
I think, honestly, I've asked myself this before, because I've wanted to quit gymnastics when I was a kid a couple times. But one time when it was pretty serious, I had a pretty bad chronic back injury, and I worked very tirelessly to get it repaired, which is why I'm able to be doing what I'm doing now. But at the time, I wanted to quit gymnastics. I was growing. I was going through puberty. I hated life. I hated gymnastics. But I found myself playing hockey a lot, and I found myself playing roller hockey, actually, at the roller rink. And it was always pickup games. It was always with much, much older people than me. I was in middle school, and these guys were in high school coming home from college, older guys that had just retired from playing probably when they were younger. And they always had asked me, do you play? Like, are you going to play for Stevenson, which was the high school that I'm from? And I was like, oh, no way. And then I drop into the splits on the rollerblades. And then So honestly, I love hockey. I think I've been able to go to a couple hockey games here with some of my friends at the University of Michigan. Guys are awesome. It's a completely different world. I think the college hockey world is way cooler than the NHL world, only because it's focused solely on technique and speed and skill, and instead of these big old hits, which, you know, as a person who loves technique and appreciates the craft, I think college hockey is awesome. So if I were to be able to, I'd probably have to learn how to ice skate. And then I would love to play hockey, though.
All right. This one might be a good one.
Can I ask?
Go ahead. Throw it in.
I only want to ask it now because we're talking about the other sports, and I think this is related. All right. So in a world where Chris and I operate, it's basketball and football most of the time. And those dudes are winners of the genetic lottery, we say, right? They're 6'9", they jump out of the gym, they run, they do all this crazy stuff that Chris and I only dream of. I find it interesting that you also kind of hit the genetic lottery, but in a different way, right? I mean, you said earlier, like, ridiculously flexible just for no reason when you were a kid, and I don't know your exact height and weight. If you want to disclose it, you can, but
sure.
Smaller dudes, and that helps them do the things that they do. Like, how big of a part is it, like, just – I was just literally built to be really good at this stuff.
Yeah. So, well, if you couldn't tell, I'm definitely 6'8", 325 pounds. I bench about 405 for 15 reps. No, I'm just kidding. So I'm a generous 5'5". I'm probably 5'4", but you know, 5'5" sounds better. And I'm about 145 pounds. I fluctuate in weight, a little bit, not too greatly, but in terms of genetics, gymnastics is one of those sports where it's almost the exact opposite of a body type that you'd think in these basketball and football sports. Sure. And that's what's always so awesome about sport in general and the whole philosophy of sport. Because when I stand next to some of these athletes, I'm like, we both do incredible feats. And
it's
we
wild.
Look
yeah.
nothing alike. So being someone that's much smaller than your typical, even average male, it helps in gymnastics a lot. You know, the best guys in the world right now are only about 5'4 to 5'5, some are even 5'3. And being on the leaner side around 120 to 150, even 150 is, you know, pushing it for the best of the best, the traditional gymnast.
Well, I guess we're out then, Brandon.
We're out.
So it's definitely plays, excuse me, a big role, being gifted really nice genetics. In terms of those event specialists, though, like that I was mentioning in the beginning of the podcast, a lot of guys are built differently. So you can have guys that are pommel horse specialists that are pushing 6 feet tall, but are also only about 130 pounds. They're really lanky dudes, but that's what allows them to be really nice long circles and gives them that kind of huge circumference and gives them that really sleek look. And then meanwhile, you can have these buff dudes that are only doing, you know, the rings. They're going to be this tall and this wide, you know, they're going to be just as wide as they are tall. So in terms of genetic lottery, the all-arounder is kind of the best body type to have. It's the most proportional. You don't want to be too big in one area, because then if your strength is going up too high, your flexibility is going to be lacking. And as I'm sure you guys know, flexibility is incredibly important in this sport that I do. So it plays a big role. I wouldn't say that it's impossible to be a good gymnast without a not great body type, but it's definitely more common for the elite level guys.
All right. So yeah, I mean, that confirms Brandon and I, our gymnastics days are behind us, at least for the time being. I'm going to transition out to a couple of fun ones here just to get people to know you a little bit here. Maybe you can help us with some things. I got two questions I want to know, Paul. Number one, what is a song that you love, but you're also somewhat embarrassed to admit it?
Oh man.
It could be like in the Kid Rock genre. It could be like, you know, like something
Kid
like
Rock
that.
Fans are going to come for us, dude. That was low blow.
Are there a lot of Kid Rock fans?
Okay. I'm going to go to my phone real quick just so I can look at what I've pulled up in the last couple weeks. Okay. Okay. So I think, yeah. So if I had to explain some of these, I would understand. So in the past week that we were at the NCAAs, I'm not sure if a lot of people know what sea shanties are, but they're really fun, you know, songs that are the stereotypical boat songs that these pilots would, or these captains and all the pirates would sing together. So I think one of the songs that I definitely love and a lot of our guys on the team sing together is called The Wellerman. And it's a sea shanty. And I guess if someone were to play that in public and said that Paul loves that song, then
The Wellerman?
The Wellerman.
I see Brandon. I see Brandon making moves over here. I see him operating. Are we going to get the Wellerman here?
I'm going to find something.
All right. While you're looking for the Wellerman, I'm going to ask question number two. And this one isn't so silly, but maybe you can help us out. I'm a Netflix guy. Brandon's not really a Netflix guy, but we're getting him in. What's the last movie or TV series that you binge watched? What do you recommend for people out there? What should we be watching?
Oh, man. Yeah. So forgive me if I'm not as cultured as most people, but I end up getting to shows a little bit later.
Wait a minute.
Hold on. I'm trying to mute it. I don't think I have a mute button. I was trying to get that out of the way before. We might have to wait. Continue, Paul.
So I honestly don't get to really decide what I watch. My girlfriend makes those decisions, and I agree with them right?
You're already getting a crash course in long-term healthy marriage. So.
so you know, you'll make a decision, and you'll watch the introduction, and they'll say, no, we're not going to watch that. And you say, oh, well, what are we going to watch then? So one show that I regrettably loved and think that it's kind of a similar thing with what song would I say is really good and am embarrassed to say. It's called The Vampire Diaries.
Okay.
It's a very, I'd say, even intense kind of thriller show with vampires and drama and boyish
kind of like that Moonlight, you know, sort of thing.
Something a little bit like
Twilight.
Yeah, Twilight.
Twilight was what it was.
I never Brandon watched knows. Twilight.
Brandon doesn't know.
Are you sure?
I was like, Chris, I'm not sure what reference you're making right now.
Twilight, the wolves, the vampires, come on.
All right.
So yeah, exactly. The wolves, the vampires. So that show is really awesome. I think if anybody's looking for a show to watch with their couple, that's a great one. One that I'm watching right now that I've started that a lot of people have definitely watched before is Criminal Minds. After a long practice, I love eating the exact same thing I have for dinner every night, a salad with chicken, and then throwing the TV on and just getting an hour to just decompress after practice.
See,
with
I was
salad,
gonna
so.
Say maybe that's the wrong question to ask a guy like Paul Judah, who's all across the world doing different events. He's not watching. He's not doing Netflix and chill. He's doing gymnastics and win championships.
Yeah,
that's for wild guys like us. We got the Netflix body.
I'm trying. I don't think, is there no way to, you have to listen to the ad? Like, I can't skip the, I can't mute the ad?
What the hell kind of ad is that?
I don't know. It's for some show, but here we go. All right, we made it through it.
All right, is this it?
There once was a ship.
Once was a ship that put to sea. The name of the ship was the Billy of Tea. The wind blew up her boat down. Soon may the weatherman come to bring us sugar and tea and rum. One day when the tonguing is done, we'll take our leave and go.
All right.
So is there a chance that you'll see Judah like cruising the streets of Ann Arbor with that blaring out the window?
You know, if I'm rolling with my boys, there might be a good chance that we have that on.
Listen, I just want to put this out there. We're kind of laughing at Paul a little bit. That video on YouTube has 110 million views. So clearly we're a little late to the sea shanty party because a lot of people are piling onto that, and it's got a cool little vibe. You know, he's hitting the back of the guitar. I'm going to give it a chance. I'm going to listen to the whole thing after we're done here, and we're going to see what it's all about.
Well, I mean, that's Paul, that's all I got for you, Brandon, unless you got something else.
I really don't. I mean, I just find it fascinating. You know, the fact that, like you said, I've had this thought so many times, and I started going through it kind of as you were explaining that there, when we were talking about, you know, how you were little and like a gymnastics coach just like instantly recognized you had a talent in it. You were kind of built for it. Now you're, like you said, the size that you are and the kind of build and proportions that you have, it goes back to thinking about like Michael Phelps, just genetically built to be a phenomenal swimmer, you know, long feet, long body, long arms, just streamlined right through the water. We obviously talked about the basketball players, football players are these huge dudes that can do all this crazy stuff. Where does it come from? I mean, are your parents smaller people, super flexible, jump and run and flip around? I mean, like how did you eat? Like, it kind of sounds like it just, I don't want to say fell in your lap because I know you've worked extremely hard, but like when you were little, it kind of sounds like people just said, oh, like he's just really good at this.
You know, I will say this. I know that both of my parents, when they were in Poland, especially in high school and stuff, they were very active and super athletic themselves. This is why I have the utmost respect for them, because I know if they grew up in this culture and they were able to be gifted the same opportunity as I, they would have strived to do some kind of college athletics, but that just wasn't on their plate, you know, and they never had that opportunity.
Yeah.
And so for me to be able to kind of live out this life because of them is unbelievable. In terms of honestly what I'm working hard on and all the hard work I put in, I'm someone who takes it 100% to the max in everything that I do. I believe that, you know, if you want to get good at something, you can't be halfway in. You can't have your foot dipped in two pools at once. So when it comes to the diet, when it comes to the working hard, staying late in the gym because I know I need to get something done, or making sure I go to bed at 10 p.m., you know, these are the kinds of things that add up, you know, and it's, you know, sometimes it's like, oh, you're sacrificing the traditional college experience or whatever. But you know, let me tell you, I wasn't thinking about the college experience when I raised the trophy over my head this past weekend. I wasn't thinking about that at all. I was thinking about, wow, that those added up. All those little things that happened day in and day out every single day, those added up finally. So when it comes to, you know, working hard, maintaining the good physique is a whole nother beast, right? You know, it's taking care of your body and trying to be able to get the maximum output every single day and the super maximum output in the clutch moment, right? Because you don't want to be just someone that can practice super well. You want to be someone that can compete very well as well, alongside that. So I mean, my parents are definitely, it's funny sometimes whenever my dad and I are chilling, you know, just hanging out in the pool, like, or in a hot tub or something, and I look over at him, I'm like, oh wow, I see where I got it. Like, just I see the general the build kind of. He's not some huge muscular dude, but you know, I can see the exoskeleton in there. So really, really awesome to be gifted with such awesome parents, and let alone the physicality of what they gave me, their love and support. And, you know, I knew that my parents wouldn't care ever if I got zero medals in my entire life, or if I got, every medal that ever existed. You know, my parents are there for the ride, and they're there to just kind of just let me do what I love, and I love them for that, and I appreciate them.
How about a quick shout out to mom and dad in your native language? Because I'm curious to hear it. I'm sure they would love to hear that. And you said you like to speak to them still, right?
Dziękuję bardzo, tato i mama, dla wszystko, co ty zrobiliście dla mnie. Bez ciebie, ja bym nic nie mógł zrobić. So I pretty much said, like, thank you so much, mom and dad. Without you guys, thank you for everything that you did. And without you guys, I wouldn't be able to do anything. So
another first on the pod. First from Paul Judah here.
It's Polish. Is it Polish? Is that just
Polish? Polish. Okay.
I didn't want to say, I mean, I was pretty sure, but I'm like,
if
I'm going to sound like an idiot. So I'm going to let Paul.
I'm in the business of sounding like an idiot. It's okay.
Well, that is a perfect sign off, Paul. This was, like I said, I mean, just great to have you. As Chris was saying, our first non-football athlete at the University of Michigan to join us on here. So couldn't be more excited to have you and learn about your story and much more success to you. Sounds like you've already had a lot, but I'm sure you're still striving for more.
I'll get two things just to let you guys see them real quick.
Let's do it, man. I love it. Now we got a show and tell as well. We've got other languages. We've got new lessons.
Oh, look at this. Look the at hardware. That, man.
There they I
love
are.
It. Absolutely there they are. Love it.
So not very many people can go grab those from the mantle. That's pretty exciting.
I sure as hell can.
Congratulations, man.
Thank you guys awesome. So much. I couldn't say thank you enough. Chris, I reached out to you on the influencer app, and this has been, I was just thinking about it as I was filling up my water. I couldn't have asked for a better way for this kind of whole relationship to go. So thank you so much.
Yeah, really, man, it turned out well. I'm glad we were able to connect, and we'll stay in contact in the future, man. I look forward to it. I have a reason now to pay attention to men's gymnastics, which is mission accomplished, and hopefully a lot of other people do too.
Absolutely. I'll throw a couple of these things up because I forget that the guests often can't see when there's comments coming out. People just saying, look at this guy. Great job.
Oh, well, special shout out to Kevin Monnier. That's actually my, I would argue, the 95% of the reason that I'm able to do what I do. That is the sports psychologist here at the University of Michigan. Awesome. And the amount of work that him and I put in together, unbelievable. So shout out, Kevin.
Awesome. And then we got a couple of people just talking about, and I think this is when you were talking about your family coming to the United States. So that was pretty cool. Not spotlighted enough. And we're trying, like we said, Chris and I, definitely not experts in the Olympic sports arena, but it's always cool to learn about. And it's funny that you mentioned Sam Mikulik, because I did a couple stories when I was writing for the magazine. I did a couple stories on him. And I remember thinking, like, I hope this sounds okay, because I have no idea what I'm talking about. He's got a laundry list of accolades as well.
Oh, yeah.
Are you chasing him? Like, what's that? What's that all about?
You guys are throwing me layups, man. So actually, it was one of the coolest moments of my life happened over an Instagram DM the other day. Sam DM'd me and he said, like, oh, congratulations, dude. I'm so pumped. Like, absolutely loving it for you. And I had said, and I'll actually read it to you real quick, because it literally made my you'll know when I read it.
I think he wrapped up his Michigan career in maybe 2014, somewhere around 2014. Long ago. But I mean, you're a young guy, so you were a little tight kind of when he was coming up.
So I said, let's go. And he said, so pumped for you, man. So deserving. And I said, trying my absolute hardest just to live in your footsteps, man. Let's go. Let's go. And he said, not at all. You're creating your own footsteps. Always rooting for you. And it was just one of those things that I couldn't have asked for a better way to you know, get a congratulations from him. He's the man. He is one of the most decorated Michigan athletes that a lot of people probably don't know about as well.
Yeah.
And it was just so meaningful for him to DM me that. So
there you go. Awesome stuff. And then again, a couple more comments here from the viewers. Great interview. I see the like. I see the likability in this guy. I think we could. I think we could hang out with Paul Judah once upon a time. And this is funny. Apparently, your place looks a lot better than the football guy's place. So there you go. He's got the vacuum. He's keeping it clean.
Look at that. What is that, fireplace over there? I haven't had anybody with a fireplace.
So funny story about the fireplace. We've got two in our team house here, and my mom made sure to tell me, yeah, you can't use the fireplace. I was like, mom, but like roasting marshmallows in my fire. In the park. Imagine that. And she was like, there will be none of that happening.
Good stuff. Paul, thank you so much for your time, man.
Yeah, man.
Welcome back. You're welcome back anytime. I mean, we'll see what else pops up for you in your career, but much continued success. And thank you so much for dropping by with us tonight, man. Really appreciate it.
I really appreciate it, guys. Thank you so much. And I'm going to go make one of those chicken salads. So right on. I'll catch you guys later.
Take care, man.
All right, man. Paul Judah, like we said, guy that, you know, if it wasn't for that NIL program, we probably wouldn't know a whole lot about it. Again, the sport itself, I mean, it's impressive isn't even the right word. The stuff that those guys do is insane, but it's not one of the mainstream sports. It's not one of the sports a lot of people grow up participating in, especially guys. I mean, we kind of you kind of started to touch on that a little bit, and he even mentioned, like, you know, a lot of the stuff that you do see on TV, or you do see a little bit more of, is the female side of gymnastics. It's not usually publicized as much on the men's side of things, and so it was really cool to talk to him about all that. And again, I mean, he said he didn't want to do the laundry list. Do you have a few things you can say about what he's won, you know, overall at his time at Michigan, and especially recently? He's been on a tear.
Well, I don't even know if this is going to be the updated list, but I can go through what I have
last here. Week anyway, right?
Right. So I can go through what I have here. So he's Big Ten male, Big Ten gymnast of the year 2022, Big Ten gymnast of the week, Big Ten gymnast of the year 2021, United States senior national team member, academic all Big Ten, two-time NCAA All-American. I can hear myself echoing, so I'm going to come out and come back in. And then he just won the two NCAA championships over the weekend, which was what he was holding up, I believe. So, I mean, the dude just dominates. It's all he does.
Yeah. Like we said, you know, you might not see him on ESPN in prime time. You might not, you know, recognize him if you bumped into him on campus, but the dude is winning at the highest level in his sport. And that's, you know, that's always impressive. Like we said, I was kind of laughing at ourselves when we're just like, God, dude, how are these kids so freaking awesome at like age 21 years old? And he's talking about his major and his friends' majors and what they're going to school for, and the time management and the hours they spend in the gym and the physique and the diet and the eating and this. And I'm like, dude, I sucked so hard in college. It just makes you really wonder, like, what lab these dudes are grown in, because it's almost unnatural how you know, the levels that some of these guys reach. It's crazy.
Yeah, I'll be honest. When he was going through the, you know, in bed by 10 p.m. and the chickens, it was like every check mark, I was like, well, I don't do that. I'm not doing that. I'm definitely not doing that.
Yeah. But anyway, good stuff. Really cool to talk with him, man. Great story. That kid's a natural, man. I mean, he didn't even need us. He just told me that.
Yeah, I talked to him a couple of times leading up to it, and he had mentioned on a couple of occasions that he has no issue carrying on a conversation.
Yeah, but that's good though, man. It's good. It's better to be that way.
Love it, man.
Spectrum, yeah, for sure.
Great interview.
Lots of really good stuff. We're gonna shift gears to just a little bit. We're coming up on 48 minutes here, but Michigan basketball gave out some team awards today, so we're not gonna spend a lot of time on these, but I'm gonna throw them out at you. If you have a comment to give on what the awards are, on who won it, and we'll just kind of go through them like that, and it shouldn't take too long. But a handful of awards: MVP Hunter Dickinson, go, your favorite player.
Makes sense, expected. He's, you know, the best player on the team.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you could get into the nitty gritty about what he did compared to year one compared to year two, and, you know, how there were some ups and downs a little bit, especially at the beginning of the year. Michigan's season in general was the epitome of up and down, right? 12 games in a row of win loss, but a nice little run in the tournament. Big part of it was Hunter Dickinson. You're not going to get anybody, you know, advocating for anybody else, I don't think. Most outstanding, the Wayman Britt most outstanding defensive player, Eli Brooks. Right. I mean, you hear about him all the time being like the coach on the floor. Help defense is phenomenal. Always in the right place at the right time. Always seems to check the other guy's best perimeter player. Probably a no-brainer, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I would say so. I mean, veteran guy, he spends a lot of minutes on the floor.
I don't even know what other direction you would go. I mean, you do have Dickinson there as the big guy in the middle, but he's not, you know, he wasn't like an elite shot blocker or anything. He does a good job hedging and switching out on the perimeter, but that award has Eli Brooks written all over it. The Travis Conlin Sportsmanship Award. I'm not entirely sure what that's all about, but Adrian Nunez took that one home. I don't know. The most I know about him is that he does a lot of stuff on TikTok. He seems to have a good disposition, so it makes sense that he would be a sportsman. He would have a high level of sportsmanship. Is that fair?
I don't know how the two link, but I mean, seems like just good energy. Dude, just bubbly, just having a good time. Yeah, that's awesome.
Rudy Tomjanovich Most Improved Player Award also went to Hunter Dickinson. This one I was a little curious about. I felt like maybe there'd be some other guys in the discussion from last year to this year. I don't know. What do you think about that?
I mean, he made some improvements. There's no doubt, but I just didn't, again, and you're saying it from a fan standpoint, like, well, he didn't improve as much as I thought he should improve.
Yeah.
And that's kind of where I'm at. He made some improvements. I think he was the team's leading scorer. And so, you know,
I guess the thought is, who else would it really go to? I mean, Eli Brooks has been the same dude for like 4 years.
Terrence Williams, maybe? He didn't have enough minutes on the floor, though. That's the problem.
Yeah, it was small sample size. The other guys are freshmen, so they're not eligible for it. Right. So, I mean, like, it's almost like a defaulted award, I guess. I mean, they in the comments, CJ saying, who else, though? Like, yeah, I don't know if there is anybody else. And Hunter, you know, had a chance to leave early, maybe, decides to come back. He extended his range out beyond the 3-point line. So that was an improvement in his game. But yeah, that one was kind of like, you didn't have a freshman. I know Dickinson was the freshman to sophomore leap, but it wasn't a huge leap because he was so damn good last year as a true freshman. So that's kind of an interesting one. You could debate
even,
that.
So even like minutes and points aside and production aside, I mean, in terms of who made the biggest jump from last year to this year, do you think Dickinson made a bigger jump than Terrence Williams?
No, I actually don't. But the sample size is just so much smaller.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the problem with it. But I don't know. That was kind of interesting. The sixth man award went to the aforementioned Terrence Williams. I mean, he wasn't like your – I don't even know. Was he – he probably wasn't the first guy off the bench in every game, but he was kind of like the next guy whenever they needed a change up. He could play multiple positions. Well,
and then some guys – and then sometimes he was – never to be fired. Yeah. He was just left on the bench, you know? So
yeah, the college game doesn't have a six man usually exactly like how the NBA does. Like the rotations are so set in the NBA, like guys know when they're coming in before it's even coming up on the, you know, on the clock and stuff like that. But I'm okay with it. He was an instant energy kind of guy off the bench. He did hit some clutch shots. He almost always did some nice things when he was in there.
Hustle, hustle, hustle.
I can get on board with that. And that leads us to the next award, which it's kind of funny. I feel like Terrence Williams could have been involved here, but the Steve Grote Hustle Award was split between Jace Howard and Musa Diabate. And I think Terrence Williams could have easily been in that discussion as well.
Absolutely. Yeah. I feel like Terrence Williams could have been in three of those discussions.
Yeah. Yeah. So Thad Gamer Leadership Award. Whoops. Sorry. Thad Garner Leadership Award, Eli Brooks, you know, super senior coach on the floor, getting everybody in position. That one was probably a no-brainer as well.
No-brainer, yep.
This one, it's just this one's a little more concrete. You either lead the team in minutes or you don't. The Iron Man Award, also to Eli Brooks, played just under 36 minutes a game. So, like, again, staying out of foul trouble, always could count on him, always doing what he's supposed to do, barely came off the floor, man. That's, I mean, the college basketball game is only 40 minutes. He's out there for almost all of them. So,
yeah,
pretty impressive stuff. Outstanding free throw shooter, Eli Brooks, 87.7%. He went 71 for 81. Another one that's measured by statistics. No real argument there. This one is interesting because this is stuff we don't really hear about that much. But the Morgan Bodner Brothers Award for Academic Achievement goes to Frankie Collins, freshman on the team, getting it done in the class. Yeah, you love to see that. That's, again, you don't hear a lot about what they're doing in the classroom or what kind of classes they're taking or how well they're even doing. But for a freshman to come in and be that guy at point guard, I love it. I love that for Frankie.
With a lot of swag, by the way. Come on. Yeah, like that, like that's the total package.
Where's the retro Jays every night out? You gotta love that.
Add it up.
Gary Grant Award for most assists, Devontae Jones. Again, another, you know, concrete. You know, who led the team in assists? It was Devontae Jones. And how would you grade Devontae Jones's one season at Michigan?
I'd give him a solid. Either a solid B or a solid B minus.
I'd be in the B range.
Yeah.
More good than bad.
Good, not as good as I expected it to be, but not as awful as it could have been given some of the issues that we saw early, if that makes sense.
That does make sense. That's exactly what I was going to say. Early on, it would have been like C range. You know, fouling too, not scoring very much. Looked a little stagnant at times. Not a great three-point shooter, but down the stretch, much better. I'd go B. I'd be fine with giving him a B and calling it a day. And you know, he did leave the team in assists almost 5 a game, had some double digit assist games when they needed it, played really well down the stretch. And last but not least, excuse me, the Loy Vaught rebounding award again, Hunter Dickinson, most rebounds on the team. Not surprised from a guy 7'1". So there you go. Those are the basketball awards that were just announced and given out given out over the weekend, named, announced publicly in a release from U of M today. And last but not least, Chris, do we want to have the discussion real quick, or are we good right here at 55
minutes? Which discussion?
It's the announcer question that you cooked up. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to talk about this a little bit more, but we're going to save it for next week because we haven't really done any football, and I think that's okay. Probably maybe the first time ever we haven't really done much football or any football. And next week we're going to come back with several over-under scenarios that we can look at for next season. We'll talk about those. It'll be a pretty long segment that we can go back and forth with, and then I'll give this up for a teaser. Chris, put this out there. If you could just pick any two of these guys to call your football game, who would it be?
People were pissed about this list.
A little bit pissed.
They were pissed.
We'll talk about why. That is next week. We'll talk about
why. We don't got to talk about why it is. We know why it is because people are idiots.
We'll talk about why Chris's list is not very good. We'll talk about all of it. We'll bring it all up.
My list is the list. Pulled it out, showed it to you.
Thank you, Matt. We will be back again on Wednesday to talk some football stuff, get back into our normal lane. I don't know. I didn't feel out of place talking to Paul. I thought it went well.
Nah, Paul's a great dude, man. I feel like Paul can talk to anybody and he's an easy guy to talk to, man. Makes it easy. I mean, between Davis Warren and now Paul Judah, there's two guys that I would have never rooted for before. And now it's like two guys that I'm like, yeah, I want to see him do well.
So thanks again for Paul to Paul Judah for stopping and spending a good 30 plus minutes with us. You did say he told me he's a talker. He's a talker, and he had no problem filling up that time for us. But we're grateful for that. He did a great job. So thanks to him. So we'll be back on Wednesday. Do a little bit more football stuff. Excited to get into that. We're months and months away from football, man. But it's still fun to talk about. So we'll do that on Wednesday. Take care, everybody.